This is the talk for Sunday the 8th of October and for St John's Church, Birkdale, and my name's Sally Wright. Today I'm going to continue the story of King Saul and how his reign panned out as part of our current series looking at Old Testament kings. But let's just pray before we go any further. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will enable each of us listening to this to learn more from the Bible to help us on our journey of faith. Amen. Tim and I went in church last Sunday as we were away in the lakes for a few days. We arrived to a flood warning, being told that we'd have to be able to leave the site at 20 minutes notice, day or night. Apparently, a few days before, an evacuation had taken place at 5 a.m. I wasn't fazed by it at all, but Tim was gutted that he couldn't enjoy the local beer as he had intended that night in the town. We didn't have to move and the restrictions were lifted, so all was good. But during our time in Keswick, it did get me thinking about how I was going to present this talk about the fall of Saul. And something triggered an idea for me. One night we were having a meal and a small group gathered outside where we were eating. And then a man ran past and up the steps of the Moot Hall there in the centre of Keswick and touched the door to cheers from the crowds below. He looked to me like he'd just run round the block, but the people outside seemed to be congratulating him. So I asked a waitress what was going on. Apparently, the man had completed the Bob Graham. Now, for those of you like me who've never heard of the Bob Graham, it's a 66-mile run of 42 of the highest peaks in the English Lake District. And to gain a place in the Bob Graham Club, you have to do it within 24 hours. It was first done back in 1932 by Bob Graham, a hotelier of Keswick at the age of 42. And the 42 peak round has become a testing ground for the supremely fit. And each summer, around 100 of the most highly tuned ultra distance fell runners will attempt the 27,000 feet ascent within the allotted 24 hours. Only one in three will return to Keswick Moot Hall before the clock runs down. The website, if you want to register any time, asks the question, have you got what it takes? What that man we saw in Keswick and King Saul have in common is that they both needed endurance. Those of you who run, notice I say those of you, as I'm not in that group, but those of you who run will know that you need to pace yourself. If you start off sprinting in a 66-mile run, you'll just never reach the end. Saul did start strong. We saw some of that from last week when Roy introduced King Saul's reign. He had the physical presence of a king. God chose him. God changed him. God spoke through him and God moved mightily through Saul's life. But did he have what it takes? Endurance. A few weeks ago, I spoke about obedience and talked about Saul then, how he was also had been found hiding instead of facing up to his responsibilities and let pride take hold of him at other times. God had given him chance after chance. In a moment, I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 15, but let's just put it into context. God had told Saul that his next assignment was to destroy the Amalekites. They were wicked, and Saul had a chance to redeem himself. He was instructed to go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, including all the livestock. But what did he do? Well, he went and captured the king, Agag, but completely destroyed everybody else. And then he kept all the best sheep, goats, cattle and lambs. In fact, everything that appealed to him. So Samuel was sent to Saul by God and questioned him. What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offering and sacrifices, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshipping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was afraid of the people and I did what they demanded. But now please forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel replied, I will not go back with you. Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. Harsh words, maybe. But did Saul have what it takes? Endurance. I'm sure we all know that good beginnings are no guarantee of successful endings. So what happened to Saul? How did he fall? Firstly, he began to believe that he was above correction. He forgot who had made him king. Secondly, he became utterly destroyed by pride. And then he gave himself over to hatred, jealousy, and even murder. He ended up visiting a witch and asking to speak to the dead as he was scared of what lay ahead. Let's just look at that point for a minute. In this reading we read, rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Witchcraft and anything to do with the occult is not of God. We might look at our horoscopes, have our palms read on a day out, consult a medium or get involved in things around Halloween and think that they are harmless. But let me tell you, they are not. Everything to do with witchcraft is taking us away from what God intends. It's sinful. It's dangerous. Have a look at the background of Halloween and trick and treating. I did this week and it's shocking. Saul had turned away from asking God for direction and depending on him. How can Saul go from being hand-picked by God to what we read here? Since you have rejected the Lord's command, he has rejected you as king of Israel. Basically, he loved his title more than God. He totally disobeyed God, broke the law of God, and spent time with evil spirits and wanted to murder his successor amongst others. Saul is no role model, sadly. He didn't have what it takes. He didn't have endurance to finish the race. I don't know if you've seen the film, The Endurance. It retells the story of an expedition to Antarctica in 1914. Ernest Shackleton sailed down the Thames on the Endurance with the intent of crossing the Antarctic from the Weddell Sea, one of the most dangerous seas on the planet, to the Ross Sea. In December 1914, the Endurance encountered ice packs 400 miles north of Antarctica. And in January 1915, the ice pack took control of the ship. After a few weeks, Shackleton was resigned to the fact that there would be no landing. And now Shackleton's only goal was to get his men home safely. This is where the real endurance began. By October, the ice began to crush the Endurance and it sank, and they had to make camp on the ice floes. The men then had to endure long, treacherous trips in lifeboats. Then Shackleton left the majority of the men on Elephant Island, whilst he and a handful of men went for help. Taking a 700-mile journey in an open boat across the most tempestuous ocean in the world, he eventually made it. Although nearly exhausted, they had to then cross a mountain range to reach the Norwegian whaling station, a 36-hour slog without sleep. The whalers loaned them a ship, and after three more abortive attempts, he rescued the men on Elephant Island. Not a man was lost. The crew returned to England in May 1917. Shackleton was brought up with a family motto: by endurance we conquer. He endured terrible hardship with a determination to conquer. Did Saul have that outlook when facing hardship? Did he endure and conquer? Unfortunately, no, he fell. He didn't notice he was falling. The slippery slope of sin pulled him away from his calling and his life with God. There wasn't any repentance at the end of Saul's life. He didn't turn back to God. So what about us? How is all this relevant for you and me today? Well, ask yourself this question. Do I have what it takes? Do I have endurance as a Christian? In Matthew 24, we read, "And many false prophets will appear and lead many astray. Sin will be rampant everywhere and will cool the love of many, but those enduring to the end shall be saved." So how do we protect ourselves from falling away like Saul? Well, I've got a bit of a checklist here to help us. Firstly, we have to know Jesus. Know him through a living relationship with him. That means accepting that you are a sinner, believing in your heart that Jesus died for your sins and God raised him from the dead, and then call on the name of Jesus and trust him as Lord of your life. Just ask yourself, have you ever made that commitment to Jesus? Secondly, we need to keep that relationship alive through worship, fellowship, discipleship, service, giving. Basically, God is your life. He is what you are about. He's not part of your life. He is your life. And thirdly, repent of sin. But also don't live in habitual sin. What do I mean by that? Well, for instance, if you know that you do something wrong or have done something wrong in your life, you need to put it right once and for all. Don't have unrepented sin in your life. Jesus saved us from sin, but he didn't save us to continue to sin. If we persist in sin, it isn't good for us or our relationship with God. And fourthly, get to know your Bible so that you know what underpins your faith. The Bible is what we should base our beliefs and standards on, not popular culture or what we read on see on the TV. Endurance takes work. It takes preparation and training. The guy in Keswick and Sir Ernest Shackleton have a lot in common. They both had a goal. And to get to that goal, they had to train, prepare, and endure hardship. They wanted to end well. If you are a Christian this morning, you should want to end well. To be able to echo the words of Paul from 2 Timothy chapter 4. As he neared the end of his life, we read, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. What a statement of endurance. Are you still growing as a Christian? Are you in training so that you can endure to the end? Is your prayer that prayer of that old hymn? Day by day, dear Lord, of thee three things I pray, to see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, and to follow thee more nearly, day by day. If you're not a Christian, if you haven't made that personal commitment to give your life to Jesus, let me urge you to think about your race of life anew as you listen to this. Saul fell and never recovered. We cannot become complacent in our relationship with God. I pray that we will strive to endure to the end. And as we close, as I read the words of Paul again, try replacing I with your name. So for instance, Sally has fought the good fight. And then as you go into your week, think, is that what I am striving for in my life? Do I have what it takes? Have I got the endurance to conquer? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Amen.